Good morning again. What a beautiful day for November? Absolutely gorgeous out. So Cody and I have hit a new milestone in our marriage. We have officially lived, helps if I actually turn my mic on, we have officially lived in our current house the longest of any home since we've been married. Previous to this home, we have lived in three different homes, each for 3 years, almost to the month, moving sometime between May and July. After moving so many times, I have to say, we accumulate a lot of stuff. During the last move, Cody and I had been married for 9 years. And when we went to move, we had not realized how much stuff we had. We used the moving process to get rid of some stuff, probably should have gotten rid of more stuff. And we are still getting rid of stuff more than 3 years later, having accumulated even more things because of having a child. We've been in a series on discipleship. Pastor Ian started us off looking at the 12 disciples and their commitment to following Jesus. Pastor Liz looked at the putting on the armor of God. Pastor Gretchen focused on the importance of scripture in discipleship. But today I'm going to take a slightly different angle on discipleship and look at discipleship through simplicity. We are brethren. And one of the major beliefs of the Church of the Brethren is to live a simple life. The tagline for the denomination is peacefully, simply, together. Let's say that one more time together. Peacefully, simply, together. Typically, though, when we think of simple living, we immediately think that we need less stuff. And while that's definitely true, simple living is not just about being less materialistic. Simple living means that we do not let the things of this world overwhelm and consume our souls. That's not just materials, but can include commitments of our time, power and prestige, indulgences, and of course, money and wealth. Terry read our main scripture for today during the offering. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is often one of the classic scriptures on simple living. And at first read, it seems to have a materialistic focus, as we think about treasure being physical, material things. However, this is towards the end of Matthew chapter 6. And so I want to look at the whole arc of the message that Jesus is sharing throughout this entire chapter. There are different lessons within the scripture, but there's a common theme across the different lessons. At verse 1, the opening starts out, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 5 then goes on, "When you pray, do not pray on the corner like the hypocrites, but do so in secret. Verse 16, when you fast, do not mark your faces or look forlorn like the hypocrites. Instead, wash your face and fast in secret. There is this consistent theme throughout Matthew 6 of doing things in secret. Then we get to the scripture for today at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I think looking at this entire arc of lessons in the chapter makes that last section hit just a little different. When I've heard this verse before, I think of treasures that I store up on earth. I think of money, houses, cars, clothes, the latest iPhone, the latest technology. And that is part of our treasures, but I don't think that's the only treasure Jesus is referring to here. In Jesus' words, the hypocrites who tithe or pray or fast for all to see, their behaviors here are showing that they are storing up treasures here on earth and not in heaven. But it's not referring to materialistic things. When they pray, fast, and tithe for all to see, what is their treasure? Their treasure is their power, prestige, reputation. I could give a whole sermon on living a simple life in the way of material possessions, but I think we've all heard one of those before. And in fact, I think that material possessions are just one aspect of living a simple life. In fact, I think an abundance of material possessions is one of the symptoms of storing up treasures of power and prestige on this earth. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster discusses the discipline of simplicity. He says this, "The discipline of simplicity is not only concerned with our possessions, but also includes our preoccupation with status, position, and power. It includes any unhealthy needs within us to have the recognition or approval of others, and invites us to use plain and honest speech. Therefore, the Christian discipline of simplicity must be an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle." When the hypocrites pray on the street corner or mark their faces for all to see they are fasting, they are doing so for the prestige that comes with honoring God. They are doing so for their glory, not for God's glory. Living a simple life is an integral part of true discipleship, because it means that we are putting God first before ourselves and investing in things that are worthy of our time, not just to boost our own ego. If we are investing in things of this world, committing our time or resources to things to simply to boost our ego or our reputation, our ego becomes our idol. Our ego comes before God. Our ego is our treasure that is of this world that will eventually fade away. To get an idea of whether an act we are doing is consistent with living a simple life, we have to look at our motives. What are our motives? Do we want something because it will improve our quality of life or allow us to be better stewards or disciples? Or do we want something because someone else has it and we are coveting our neighbor? Or do we want it to make ourselves stand out and stand apart from others? I said earlier, Cody and I are now in our fourth house. And the third house we bought was probably one we bought with incorrect motives. The house we had been in previously was fine. It was a very nice home. There wasn't anything wrong with it. We weren't even looking to buy. We just are nosy people and happened to go through an open house that day. We fell in love with the house and decided to buy the house. It was bigger than we needed. It was more expensive than what we should have spent at that time in our life. And quite frankly, we didn't have a good reason to buy it, except that it was bigger and better than what we had. When we moved from there 3 years later, it was to downsize into a house that was more appropriate for our needs, and so we could be better stewards of our time, finances, and materials. We moved to that third house because it was the epitome of the American dream, to feel like we made it. Or you can think of this as the idea of keeping up with the Joneses, of constantly getting something bigger and better. We moved for the wrong motivations. But the materialism there was a symptom of something deeper, something internal. This desire for prestige, power, status, it's a part of this world that we live in, where our materials reflect our status. We live in a world where we are encouraged to have our materials, have the materials to reflect a higher and higher status. I just read an article to one of my classes about the status symbol of high heels. When you walk into a women's shoe store, what are the majority of the shoes that are out on display for you to see? High heels. How practical are they? Not. High heels used to be for men as a status symbol. Then the working class men began wearing high heels. So upper class men who wore high heels wore taller and taller heels. Heels so tall that it was impractical for working class men to continue wearing higher heels because they were not able to work. At some point, it transitioned for high heels to be a status symbol for women. And quite frankly, if we look at jobs, the higher status jobs, office jobs that don't require you to be on your feet all day, are the jobs that we see women wear high heels. Working class women who are on their feet all day, it's impractical and impossible to wear high heels. What is the actual purpose of the high heel? In some essence, it can be seen as a symbol to set apart lower working class and upper class women, a status symbol. I'm not saying you shouldn't go wear high heels. I love my heels. I enjoy them. But what are the reasons that we are choosing to buy another set of high heels or another name brand product? You name it, what's your vice? Are we buying that because of the status that comes with those name brand items? Is it that status, what we are storing up as a treasure here on earth? My question to you is, where in your life do you prioritize your own status? Or in Richard Foster's words, where is it that you have a need for the recognition and approval of others? What is your treasure? I have to be honest and say that my reputation is one of my treasures. My reputation is extremely important to me, and if my reputation is threatened in any way, I become very defensive. I may boast about myself to regain my reputation. I may intentionally seek out opportunities that put me in a position to improve my reputation, even if it means I'm not being a good steward of my time. I have to regularly check my motives when I agree to something or want to share something about myself, because I have to see if my motives are to boost my reputation or to do what is best in the situation for all involved. When we are prioritizing our own needs for recognition or our own reputation, we may make choices that are not in the best interest of others. We may overextend ourselves and our time commitments and ultimately not glorify God. The actual polity for the Church of the Brethren on living a simple life that was adopted in 1996 does not limit itself to material goods. It says that the integration of faith and living shows reverence for our bodies given to serve God, free from toxins, indulgences, and overwork. Our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit, not idols to gratify. When we store up our treasures here on earth, we are working to gratify ourselves, which can lead to overwork and overindulgence. Is there somewhere in your life that you're overdoing it? What are your motives? And is there something you are prioritizing over God? I have one last point I want to share from this scripture. As Jesus described the people who prayed, fasted, and tithed for all to see, what did he call them? Do not be like these hypocrites. Yes, Jesus is saying do not be like these people, but there's another side to this. As people stand there for all to see for the prestige, there are people who look at them with envy. People who look at them wanting to be like them. And Jesus is saying don't be like them. People looking at them wanting to be viewed and valued in the way they are valued. Those watching may be jealous because they want the same prestige as the person boasting about their prayer and fasting. Not only are we not supposed to boast, but we should not compare ourselves to those who do. To live a simple life means we do not play the comparison game. There are times it is good to be in community, to know what others are doing, to help hold ourselves accountable, to help us grow. However, if we are constantly seeing what others are doing and comparing ourselves to them, we will feel inadequate. We will desire the treasure they have here on earth rather than the treasure from God. In our world, there are so many to envy. TV and movie stars, music artists, people on social media, people we work with, people sitting here in the pews next to you. We may see what their lives are like and want lives like they have, but their life isn't the one that God gave us. God gave us our own unique life. Our own unique life with our own unique set of spiritual gifts and desires to glorify God. When we compare too much to others, coveting others' experiences, we are diminishing the value of our passions, desires, and gifts given to us by God. While we should compare with others to keep us on track and to grow, we must be careful not to let that comparison cause us to stop putting the glory of God first. I want to end today with an excerpt from the Church of the Brethren Polity on Simple Living. With Christ at the center, the Bible in one hand and the witness of community at the other, we face temptation with faith and courage. When tempted to accumulate wealth, we will hear the voice of Jesus proclaiming, "Seek ye the kingdom first." When tempted to hurry and be busy, we will hear our spirit forebears calling, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." When we covet power, prestige, and possessions, we will join our sisters and brothers in the church singing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Amen.